It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. A great time. We're going to have, I can already tell this is going to be a great podcast. I'm telling you, it's going to be outstanding. Yes, it will. And because we have Kyle from LaGrange Barber, what's up, man?
Hold on, David. I hear it's going to be a very special podcast.
I did that on purpose because I wanted to get you all fired up.
Spice it up.
I have a feeling, though, I didn't have to say that. I have a feeling you're going to go off tonight. I'm feeling like we're going to get vintage Kyle from LaGrange.
But I'll say vintage that Kyle. Well, I don't know that I'm that fired up, but yeah, I'll give you something.
I'm hearing people are saying that you're too nice right now, so we will give them a reason.
People
to have the old Kyle back.
The Kindler, gentler Kyle?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, it's 2019. That was one of his New Year's resolutions. Not. Let's move on to a guy that is kind, and I don't know about the general part, but Bubba from China Grow. What's up, man? Bubba Rosenbaum.
What's going on, guys?
Well, there's a lot going on. When I was talking to you earlier, we're planning the show. But we do plan the show for people that don't believe that. I was like, man, we've got a little bit of talk about with basketball. And then I started thinking about all the stuff going on. And then there's, when you start planning out a show, just to bore people, to tell people behind the scenes kind of things, it always works out that way when you think that you have very little and then you realize, oh, yeah, that's right. We have that and we have that and we have that. And then we have people that are helping us out with material, too. So I appreciate them. We'll get into that in just a little bit. We're going to do the round table now. And, guys, a lot of stuff in the news, little tidbits, little things that we can discuss. Some things that are very positive, some that are not. So do you want to start with the good? I'll take it.
Sure.
All right. I'm very excited, being an alum of the university, that finally the new Student Center opened up this week. Very excited. Opened up a couple of days ago, I think on Monday. And 210,000 square feet. And they have, Kyle, we can go watch a movie together. They have a movie theater. They've got a whole bunch of stuff in there. Lots of great things to eat. And by the way, we'll discuss that in a little bit. The baseball banquet is going to be there on February the 9th. So we'll be talking about that in a little bit. But very excited about the new Student Center. I've talked about it before. There's a lot of great things going on the academic side of things. So when people talk about the school as a whole, as academically, East Carolina is a very good school, and don't judge me by that. I'm telling you, it really is, and I'm very proud to be a Pirate, very proud of the university, and what I want to see is something I've been talking about a lot. I want to see the kind of growth we've had academically. I want to see that athletically. So what do you guys think about the I can save that for a later podcast. What do you guys think about the new Student Center?
Right. It's great for the students. It should be, you know, hopefully helpful to get enrollment numbers going back up. You know, we fell behind Charlotte this year.
Yeah.
So hopefully this will help with that, and the students will be able to utilize it. And it's no negatives to it. So it's great for the school.
I want to start off with a positive. What do you think, Bubba?
Should be great, like Kyle said, for not only the regular students, but also the athletes. When you're showing them the campus, I know my parents had the opportunity to come down Saturday for the Cincinnati basketball game. And I'm not sure if they had a chance to go over. I know a good friend of ours, Jane Real, big time Pirate. Maybe we definitely need to have her on sometime. But, I know she was encouraging my parents to go check it out and, saying that the new bookstore was going to be open after the basketball game. So it was also very cool to see that C.J. Wilson and Willie Smith, who played for us and then, of course, in the NFL for several years, the two of them were there for the ribbon cutting.
That's cool. Now, with the new bookstore, Dowdy Student Store, is the old location closed or in the right building or what?
Believe so,
I assume
yeah.
It is. That was the question I had. I'm glad you read my mind, Kyle. That was one thing. I love the old Student Store, so I guess they're going to make that something different.
Is this a more convenient location, guys? I'm not sure where it is. I mean, where is it at on campus?
The new location? The new
student center,
store?
Yes.
It is literally right there on the main drag on 10th Street. It's for old school people that remember the Wendy's.
Yep.
Right across where Kinko's used to be. It's now a FedEx store. And then they had across the street where Miami Subs used to be. It's now a Arby's. That's where the student center is. So it's a really good location. It's a really good location. The size is, I think it's, I want to say it's double the size of, I'm not sure on that, but I know that it's way bigger than, Mendenhall. And Mendenhall to me was great, but it was built in 1974. There's a, by the way, if you get a chance, go on YouTube. You can actually, well, you'll know what we're talking about, and just type in ECU Student Center, and there's a great minute and a half video. So if you have a short attention span, it's only a minute and a half. Come on, you can watch it and know what we're talking about. So the Student Center is fabulous. They've got a huge video screen, by the way, guys, outside, that they'll be able to show ball games and movies and stuff, I guess. There's a lot of cool features that things we don't even know about. There's going to be a dance hall. There's a movie theater.
Theater going to show first-run movies?
They're going to show, in other words, what they do is they usually, yes, what it'll be is, if it's same like Mendenhall, it's kind of like the way the dollar movies run, where they're not out in the theaters, but they're 6 months, year later, something like that. So
prior to DVD release or
something like that. You know how they do that, and I would assume they're going to do the same thing. I remember one of my favorite memories of Mendenhall was a single white female with Jennifer Jason Leigh. I'll get back.
That's always one of your favorite memories of college.
Yeah,
single white females. I mean, that's
but that's not what. They actually, whoever was running the movie, the projector, didn't have it set up right, and so there was a really intense scene. It was like a thriller movie, and there's violence
Bridget
going
Fonda.
On. Yeah, Bridget Fonda, thank you. And there's like violence going on, and there's the boom mic above their heads that you could actually see it, and everybody's laughing when they should be like scared to death what's going on. And everybody was laughing. It was like a really surreal moment watching a movie where it's the wrong emotion. So, anyway, I digress. But it was.
So,
tell
me the story about the single white female.
The single white female. Have you ever seen the movie?
Tell me. You said you had a story about a single white female. You meant it, meant it all?
Just the movie. Yeah, the movie itself. It was.
All right.
At Mendenhall. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Mendenhall.
Okay. And then what happened?
I just told the story.
Anyway,
so I love Mendenhall, the bowling alley. It was a lot of fun, but this is going to be tremendous. And they're going to make Mendenhall like catering offices, and they're going to keep, I'm happy about that. They're going to utilize the space and repurpose the space. So that's good. By the way, saw him tonight. Want to give a shout out to Pirate Al, and Pirate Al is going to come back on the show, and, very soon we'll have him on basketball season. Now there's conference play. We wanted to wait until then to get a feel how basketball was going. And he actually, I know, put a lot of the furniture in there at the new Student Center. So thank you, Pirate Al. You're amazing. And he does a lot. That's why he's Pirate Al, right?
Absolutely.
Something else of note about the new Student Center, Dave, is I believe I saw this in the last few weeks on the ECU baseball Twitter. The banquet is going to be, Saturday, February 9th, is going to be in the new ECU Student Center. So,
let's go ahead and talk about that. Go ahead and get your tickets, by the way, folks. At I know the prices now are $50 for adults. I'm not sure. I don't have the stuff in front of me. Do you guys have the notes I sent you in front of you? But it's $50.
Of course I do, David.
Kyle's like the D student in the back of the room. Bubba, do you the A student?
I do.
Okay.
Adults are $50. Ages 12 and under are $30. ECU baseball alums, $35. If you want to purchase a table, which includes 7 seats, and the guest will be seated with one member of the 2019 team, you also receive an autographed team jersey, 2 general admission season tickets, and your name or business name featured in the program and name or business name displayed on the table. That package runs you $1,000.
What's
all
on
right.
the menu, guys? Do we know what's on the menu?
The menu is McCall's Barbecue and Seafood.
Oh.
And the registration deadline is Monday, February 4th at 5 p.m.
McCall's in Goldsboro, North Carolina.
The keynote speakers are Eddie Losner, who's currently a high school baseball coach, if I'm not mistaken, and then he had previously been an assistant coach with the Pirates under either Randy Mazie or Billy Godwin, and also Chris Holba, who was tremendous pitcher, and now I believe in the St. Louis Cardinals organization.
That's going to be a lot of fun. And Kyle, you going with me that night?
I might. I can get down with
Come on,
McCall.
You got to be my date.
I'm not going to be your single white female, but, you know, we'll see what happens. Like I said, I can get down with the McCalls. You know,
it's their Valentine's Day. Come on.
I'll have to check Riley's basketball schedule. I may be able
Bubba,
to make it.
Bubba may be able to go with you. You won't need me. You can go with Bubba. Y'all can hold hands and skip.
Wait a minute now. Anyway, we're getting way off the rails, but that's going to be a big event. And by the way, also want to mention, Kyle, in your neck of the woods, if you're hearing this on Thursday, there's a big event Thursday night, and that is, what is it, Bubba? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Pirates will be returning to action as they'll be.
Well, that's not what I was talking about.
Okay.
Non-ECU, Bubba. Non-ECU.
Yes.
He's talking about the banquet for the Down East Wood Ducks in Kinston on Thursday night.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
King's Barbecue in Kinston, and what are the details on that?
Well, you can actually go there, and tickets are only $30, folks. You can go to wooddugsbaseball.com. You can give them a call. I don't have the number in front of me, but Janelle Bullock is a good friend of mine, and she's the assistant general manager in charge of operations. And speaking of, see, I can name drop too, Bubba.
Hey, I got that number for you.
Okay, go for it.
I'm ready to redeem myself. Janelle Bullock, 252-686-5172, and she's the one you need to speak with regarding the banquet with the Wood Ducks.
And tell her that Dave sent you. She'll probably charge you $50 for the tickets, but it's going to
tell her the Sports Objective sent you.
What's on the menu for the banquet for the Wood Ducks? Is it just King's Barbecue, fried chicken?
Yeah, they have chicken, barbecue. Yeah. They have
Going with King, get the Brunswick stew. It's available.
That is really good. Yeah, they do have that. It's really good.
You want me to mention the players that are going to be there?
Yeah, go for it.
Of course, the Wood Ducks are affiliated with the Texas Rangers, and the players that are going to be there, Josh Trevino, Jeffrey Springs, and Willie Calhoun, as well as manager Spike Owen, and then Rangers manager Jeff Bannister.
And one of the guys
Spike
I like.
Is Spike the manager now for the Wood Ducks?
He is. Yes, he is. He,
oh, my goodness.
Last year he was the... Yeah, last year he became the manager, and then
I did not realize that. I didn't really, you know, I got into the excitement of the first year with the Wood Ducks, and then we had Howard Johnson as the manager. I didn't realize Spike Owen had taken this. I knew Howard had moved on, but I didn't realize it was Spike Owen. You know,
Spike Owen was with the Hickory. Yeah, he was in the Hickory Crawdads. It's like
I'm assuming it's the same Spike Owen. He was a major leaguer.
Yes,
he played
he
with the Montreal Expos. He was a shortstop.
That's correct. It is.
And he was a good player. He very, you know, didn't reach the levels of fame, but was always a solid player for the Expos back in the day.
I'm impressed.
And also, the MC for the event will be Matt Hicks, who's the play-by-play announcer. Correct?
Yeah, play-by. There's two gentlemen. He's one of them. They take turns being play-by-play, and he does play-by-play and color. You know how they do some innings is play-by-play and some innings is the color analyst, so they take turns. So, but
Matt Hicks.
We need to have him on.
Now he's the play-by-play for the Wood Ducks or the Rangers?
No, for the Rangers.
The Rangers. I thought so. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, he actually has had time in the Carolina League back in the late 80s and has a golden voice. And when we have him on the podcast, we will. Tom's been crazy this week.
But we so he's that homeless guy?
No, he's not. Never. A homeless guy.
You remember the guy with the golden voice, the homeless guy?
Oh, yeah, I didn't know where in the world you were going with that. Yeah, it is. He was in Cleveland.
That's right. Correct.
Cleveland Cavaliers hired him. Yeah. Matt is actually, I don't think he's homeless. He is on the road a lot. So I guess you could technically say when he's on the road, he doesn't have.
Well, look, you said he had a golden voice, so that's immediately where my mind went.
I see, yeah. Wow, okay. I'll take my word that this is going to be a great podcast. I take that back. I think you're doing this on purpose, so it won't be great. So anyway, it's going to be a great event in Kinston. Please go. I can't go. Alexander has his first basketball practice, and I'm a huge fan of my son, obviously, so I'm going to be there supporting my son, and I don't want a divorce. So I will be at the basketball practice on Thursday night. He's playing upwards basketball. He's going to be a trailblazer. So I want to give a shout-out to my son, who's been working way harder than I ever did at sports. I thought I had a big heart for sports, but, man, he's got me beat by a big margin. So looking forward to watching him play basketball the next couple months. And I know the same thing for you, right, Bubba?
Yeah, Riley has his first game on Saturday at 1 o'clock. So looking forward to that. Of course, his team name is the Pirates, and what else would it be? And so, 1 o'clock on Saturday, Riley will get things started.
Will
on
his sign autographs? Will you let him sign autographs? He's 7 years old.
Oh, of course.
Okay. All right, just checking. I'm sure everybody's going to come out to watch her sons play basketball. That's why I listen to a podcast. But anyway,
of course, the track of the Wild will be packed, and they'll be too deep.
No doubt about it. I understand they have a good coach. The Pirates have a great coach too. So that's what I
hear. Iyer's terrible.
I don't know about that.
Iyer's terrible.
A football player coaching basketball, but you are. But you are a PE coach, so you have to learn all the sports, right? How to, like,
right.
Fundamentals and stuff.
I hear he sniffs glue.
Anyway, I'm supposed to be the captain of the ship, and it's not working out too well. So, go to the Wood Ducks, woodducksbaseball.com, give Janelle a call, and have a good time at King's Barbecue, and tell them that you listen to the Sports Objective podcast. Maybe they'll come on the podcast that way. I don't know. We're moving right along. Let's talk ECU stuff because we've got so much to talk about, and we'll try to make it so little time for Bubba, who has to get up earlier than all of us, I think.
What time do you guys want to start?
We've got a lot of topics.
I have to be at school at 6:50, so I typically get up, by 5:30, if not before.
Oh, man, yeah, so I get up about 6:15, so you got me about 45 minutes.
Yeah, I get up at 6:30, so.
Now all the listeners know what time we wake up.
Yeah, now that we've got that, where do you guys want to go, ECU? I want to talk the TV lead, the TV cliche, if it bleeds, it leads. Let's talk about the negative now. We did the student feel-good center, and I know Kyle wanted to vomit while I was talking about that. So let's give the real meat of
what?
I was being silly. Really nicey-nice story. I know you're very happy.
Yeah,
and everybody always talks about you're negative. I was being silly and sarcastic about
you.
how other people thinking that you're always negative when they don't know.
If you had to explain the joke, it wasn't a good joke.
I know. So anyway, now let's move on to an interesting topic again. And I would remind the folks, let me just say this, speaking of being positive, notice how we're being positive, but we also have an obligation, even though we're not sports journalists, we don't claim to be. We have to report on things going on with ECU, or nobody will listen to this podcast. So we learn about a letter, to the Daily Reflector, in support of the Chancellor, Cecil Staton. And we heard about that, and there's another topic we can talk about as well, but I want to get you guys your takes on we'll start with Kyle because I know you've been waiting all day to talk about this. What's your thoughts on the letter, or you want to explain the whole letter to, was it the editor? Explain the whole thing with the Daily Reflector.
Well, I explained the whole thing with the Daily Reflector. The letter about supporting Staten?
Yeah, supporting Staten, yeah.
Well, there was a letter going out, to several different places saying that all these people have signed it back in Cecil Staten. And, I think a lot of people signed it pretty much because they felt like they had to. I could be wrong about that, but that's how I feel. I think a lot of other people support Staten for their own personal reasons because they're part of the cocktail circuit at the mansion.
Right.
I think a lot of people support Staten because of political affiliation.
Because he has to be conservative.
Yeah. The Charlotte Observer picked it up tonight, and they picked up the story, and they also picked up the other side of the story, where people were not supporting him, and they quoted John Bream and the Charlotte Observer in his thoughts on it, and he's got a petition going, people who say that, that are not in favor of Cecil Staten. And bottom line is, guys, Cecil Staten's got to go, and even if you're a supporter of Cecil Staten, you might as well realize he's got to go. And it's the same thing I pointed out about when Jeff Confer was here, but I tried to point out the Confer supporters. When you've got at least half the fan base or half the alumni or half the supporters of the university who don't believe in somebody, then even if you believe in him, even if you're a supporter of him, you have to come to the realization he's got to go. Because you can't have half the people not supporting someone. And personally, I do think that there is a fraction of East Carolina supporters that didn't support Staten that are now status quo because the main concern they had was football, and now football and athletics appear to be fixed or at least headed in the right direction with Mike Houston and with John Gilbert. So now they're okay with Staten because there's such a large portion of Pirate Nation that's against them, just like when Confer was here. It's not going to work. You can't have leadership and be an effective leader when you don't have a majority of the people behind you. And it's not just a minority that doesn't like Staten. I think it's the majority. And if it ain't the majority, it's certainly damn near half. But, from everybody I talk to that I associate with, they either are blatantly against Staten or they don't care either way. So I don't know anybody personally that's firmly behind Staten.
And the thing is, what it comes down to is that when you see the here, I'll make this point, and people are going to think it's a jab. It's not meant to be a jab. But if you have to have a letter from people to support, show support, then that's a bad sign. In other words, for example, you look at Dick Akin when he was chancellor here during my time in the 90s, and he was a chancellor for a good while. He didn't have to have people writing letters for him. Nobody had to write a letter for him to keep his job. And so if in other words, you have to be objective. Speaking of being objective, take your emotion out of it and look at it. If Dick Akin, and you can name a whole bunch of leaders on campus, so academically, let's talk about the academic side. How many people do you know? Did Steve Ballard ever have anybody, Kyle? I know you brought that up earlier to me off before the show.
No,
Steve Ballard never had
to
have a letter written for him.
No, it's ridiculous. And then this, they go to attack Harry Smith again. The paper. What paper was that was attacking Harry?
Carolina Journal.
By the way, ran by Henry Hinton's cousin. They go after Harry Smith yet again, and it's become ridiculous. Look, Harry wants what's best for East Carolina. He's an alum. He loves the university. And why would he want anything but what's best for the university? I think it's a false narrative. Look, I'm going to just be real, and this is not on behalf of the sports objective. This is my dialogue. Look at Cecil Staten's background, people. Look at his background as a crooked politician from the state of Georgia. Look at the Beth Merkelson scandal. Look at the fact that he wasn't properly vetted, and they had to give back $200,000
to
search firms that hired him. I mean, if you have to get, he should have been fired right then, or let go, however you want to say it. Why did they have to give us back $200,000?
If everything was kosher, they wouldn't have to get the money back, right?
Why did we want the money back? Why did we go after the $200,000 because Staten wasn't properly vetted? The university went after that money. Why would we want the guy if we're asking for money back from the search firm that hired him? That doesn't make any sense.
The other thing that comes to mind, too, is that with the whole Chancellor House, that was a terrible thing. And if people say, well, you know, Dave and this and that, let me just be very...
A former Board of Trustees member on that house.
ECU Foundation.
Yeah.
A former ECU Foundation. Listen to this, folks. A former ECU Foundation member... the house was valued at $900,000, and we buy it for $1.3 million. That's a $400,000 difference. And whether you agree with the Chancellor House or not, I don't even think it really matters at this point about that. But what it matters is about this good old boy network. That's what this whole thing is. And we are here, the new generation, the ones that are in their 30s and 40s, guess what? We're going to be around for a long time. And we're, you know... it was kind of funny during the Montgomery era when they were playing We're Not Going to Take It Anymore, you know, from Twisted Sister song, because I said, that's the perfect anthem for the people that we're not, you know, it's funny. We have people that are the blind, the ones, the sheeple, I call them. They'll just follow it. They'll drink the purple Kool-Aid, and they're saying that apparently we're terrorists now. If we stand up for what is right, and guess what? If you're a real pirate, I'm going to challenge these folks. If you're a real pirate, you've got to be intellectually honest. You cannot sit there and follow these people blind. That's why we got in the trouble we got into, because we had people that did not stand up to these people. And finally, it took firing a coach. Really, for me, it took Ruffin McNeil being fired, which was I should have noticed this beforehand, and I did a little bit, but not to be knocked between my eyes about this program. We were set back. I had a gentleman that told me this weeks ago, he found I was an ECU guy, and I told him who I was, and he said, Dave, he said, we were set back 10 years from the Ruffin McNeil firing. 10 years. And so this is what we got to do. You were right. Everybody that was involved, what happened with Cecil, even if you don't have all the politician stuff and Beth Merkelson, he came here during that stuff, okay? If this was Ballard and he had a great track record before, none of this would matter. You take all the Beth Merkelson stuff, you take all the stuff with the Chancellor home, okay? You take the $200,000 given back.
I don't want to give Ballard a free pass altogether.
I know that, but he went along.
All this stuff started under his watch.
Right at the very the tail end
of Ballard, on the athletic side.
It's kind of like. Do you like early Beatles or late Beatles? I like the early Steve Ballard. That's what I'll say.
Exactly.
I'll go with early Steve Ballard. The band was about to break up in the latter part.
It's simple. It's really simple. Staten's not the answer. We Comfort's gone. Montgomery's gone. It needs to be a clean sweep. Staten's the last.
Yep.
Domino to fall. I made another analogy online. I don't know if I'll do it on the podcast, but yeah, I will. I'll do it. I'm still the same person. Staten is that piece of turd that's sitting in the toilet. You know, after you flush, and that one that keeps floating up and hanging around that you can't get to go down. That's Staten. He's the last little turd that won't flush, that we can't get rid of. We got rid of Comfer. He was the big turd. We got rid of Montgomery. And now Staten just keeps hanging around. And we need to find a way to flush him on out and get this university back in line. Get a chancellor in here we can get behind, just like we got behind the new athletic director and the new head football coach.
Right.
And get things headed in the right direction. Coach Dilley, too. Yeah, but, you know, there wasn't a big problem in basketball in terms of he was just on the court.
Right.
Yeah. Papa, you got anything to add to this?
I'd say the biggest thing, and this is obviously history, don't want to dwell on it, but I'd say the 5-year extension that Compher received, that just absolutely blew my mind. When he received that, never would have I thought that would have occurred, but it did, and fortunately the situation was rectified, and we've moved on and are headed in a positive direction.
Yeah, and there's some other explaining to do. You know, when you go back to I'm glad the athletic department got an extra $10 million, but you know, it came from ECU physicians, where they have this supposed excess of money, yet the Brody School of Medicine
right
is bleeding money. I mean, to me, that doesn't add up.
And look, and I can say that. Let me just say on that, we have a situation going on, and I don't want to get off, but I just want folks to check out the treasurer of this great state of North Carolina. And if you think healthcare is bad, just wait to the proposed cuts that Dale Falwell, and I'm not trying to make it a political podcast, it's not the political objective, but I will say this. I think that taking that money from EC physicians, I'll just make this point and we'll move on back to that, taking that money and putting athletics as much, and you guys know how much I love athletics more than anything, but when it comes to healthcare and with the proposed cuts and different things, I don't know that that was a prudent decision based on right now. If it was any other time, it probably wouldn't matter as much, but things are not always just because you, it's kind of like, for example, okay, I'll give you this. You have a
$2 million. My biggest question, David, is, you know, do we, I don't even know if I want to go here. I'm not going to go there.
No, just wait. It's an ongoing, I will say this, it's an ongoing story. And if you think the folks that, and I'll tell you this, I will tell you this right now, the people that are non-athletic people at East Carolina, I've talked to a few of them that don't care about sports, which I know you're like, Dave, how can you? But I do know people that are non-athletic people. They were absolutely, the word that they told me, that I heard from a few people, obviously I don't have a whole sample size, but they said, I'm pissed that money went from there to $10 million to athletics when, in other words, the money from the previous administration should have been better. They're actually not anti-athletics. They're just more probably balanced than the three of us on this podcast.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with the money going to athletics if we had the money to spare to go to athletics. It just, some things don't
add up. It's Robin Peter to pay Paul.
Right. It doesn't, like I say, I don't understand how ECU physicians can have this excess of money, yet Brody is hemorrhaging money. And I know, you know, they are related.
I will tell you, knowing a little bit about it, there's a lot of stuff that's going on that's, from the state perspective, I will just say that that's not cool. And, so that's why when that money is coming out of there, it may sound like, oh God, they've got all this money and we can move it over there. But the reality is you can't be thinking about 2019 when you have these proposed cuts for hospitals. And I'm not at that level of running a hospital, but I am smart enough to know that you're going to have money in any business several years down the line. You've got to be planning for 2021, 2, 3, 4, 5 when you're running a hospital, because what can happen is if we say, oh, you've got $100 million in the bank, all of a sudden you get really frivolous with the money, and you know how it is when you get a whole bunch of money, like a tax return or something. It can go fast if you're not paying close attention to it. So
I wouldn't know anything about a tax return because I don't have children.
Well, you and Jessica have time. Start making them. No, I'm just kidding. But no, seriously, it's a really delicate issue, and it's a very stressful time if you're in healthcare in the state of North Carolina. I would just say that, and it probably will work out to be fine and be okay. But right and where we are right now, that could go either way. It's really a 50-50 right now on that, to be honest. So, and I don't want to speak out of turn and I don't run hospitals or anything like that, but I know enough to be a little bit enough to be a danger. So I know that it's not a good decision at this time, and hopefully that I'm just having, when that decision was made, I've just had to pray that it will work out in our favor. In other words, to be a win for the university as far as athletics, and win for hopefully everything will be okay with ECU as far as the hospital is concerned. Well, it's one of our favorite pirates, and certainly when it comes to the Pirate Radio Sports Network and IMG, and that would be Cy Seymour, the color analyst for basketball. Cy, thank you so much. I know that's a travel day, and you guys flying the friendly skies, and of course, I think what's worse if you're working in healthcare with people that don't know time, and it would definitely be with the flying schedules and delays. And I had a 10-hour layover in New Orleans in August, so I can tell you all about the waiting in airports. I know you've done a lot of that too over the years, being the analyst for ECU.
Hey, Dave, you know how it is, of course, in the healthcare business. Nobody gets time off. I mean, so you can't worry about it. And in basketball, the other thing is the winter. You know, you just get bad weather and delays all the time. But had a good flight. Glad to get up here in Memphis and get ready for a tough ball game.
Yes, Cy, when you look at this matchup with the Tigers, of course, they're coming in having won 6 of their last 8. They did lose last time out, falling to Houston, Houston got beat tonight for the very first time, but the Tigers lost to them by 13 the last time out. And it was the first time that Memphis had not scored at least 85 points in, like, I think 7 or 8 ball games. So talk a little bit about what we're going to see tomorrow night out of Penny Hardaway's club.
Well, I think there's just the excitement has been renewed here at Memphis. They are ready to play. And I think the crowds are much bigger. We will expect a big crowd here. It had been going down lately, and all of a sudden now, with Hardaway, it has really caught on. And he's got good players coming in. I mean, you look at Tyler Harris, is a really good, young player. And then the veteran seniors are playing well for him. You're going to see a team that runs hard, defends, man to man, and is very aggressive. They'll trap you. And I think what you can see, though, is the seniors will really play well. Jeremiah Martin, good player. He'll get it done. Kyle Harris, a freshman, will get it done. And I'll tell you, the kid, Davenport inside, is a mismatch nightmare at 6'8", and he's averaging about 15 a game. So this is a good Memphis team with 4-star players coming in and really good junior college players. Hardaway has gotten talent, and they will be very difficult to beat here in the FedEx Forum.
Well, you know, Cy,
go ahead, Dave.
Cy, I was going to say with Tyler Harris, he, anytime you can steal a player, he was supposed to go to Kentucky, right?
Right, exactly. And then you get that kid. He's, you know, I think the problem of the thing is he's not big. He's only about 5'9", but he's a jet and can really play. And so, but you're right. Hardaway came in, and he's gotten a lot of players, and he's won back Houston. And, I mean, excuse me, he's won back the city of Memphis, which is what you have to do. And they had come on hard times here, and now they're excited and glad to be back in the basketball strong position that they're in.
Cy, how much do you think the win over Cincinnati Saturday will help the Pirates play with a little bit of confidence tomorrow night against Memphis?
That's a great question. I think that ball game did more good for this ball club than anyone can imagine. Now, can you beat a Memphis team? At least now you think you can. Joe Dooley, really, what really it is about East Carolina, Joe Dooley outworked. His team is relentless. They go after you. They play hard. And one thing you got to understand about Coach Dooley, if you don't get it done, he's going to bring somebody in that will try to get it done. He throws freely. He's indiscriminate. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're loafing or you mess up on a defensive call, you're going to come out. He's going to move you around. But the thing is about this win, this is one of the higher-ranked RPI teams that we've beaten in a long time. This was a very, very good Cincinnati ball club, strong. And it's, in this league, it's a blue-blood team. In this league, it's one of the better teams. And they come in ready to win, and they have great players. And then all of a sudden, we beat this team, and I mean, really had won most of the day, almost got it taken from us at the end, just because they're used to winning. But give credit to IT and the Joe Dooley. He didn't give it up. And, you know, when you got Jaden Garner, who's a freshman, playing the way he's playing, and you hit some jumpers, all of a sudden you get a little more confident. Now, having said all that, don't think there's anything that Joe Dooley's not doing. He's out recruiting as hard as he can recruit. I mean, he was all on Sunday out against working recruiting. After the win on Saturday, he was flying out of here. So you got to understand, you're right, it gave Joe new energy. It gave his staff new energy. And it gives them ammunition to sell to his team. He had 15 different players in on Saturday at the game, 15 recruits. Looking at us win that ball game. It could not have come at a better time.
I want to get your thoughts too on how he's selling the program. What I mean by that is my son went to the holiday basketball clinic. He didn't have to do that. We had a game against A&T on Friday. They had an excellent clinic. Obviously, I'm a basketball guy, so I'm biased and I love Dooley a lot, so I'm going to do anything to support him. But the coaches came, shook all our hands. They didn't have to come and spend time with us, being the parents, grandparents, whoever were there. They really know how to sell and work the program. And I haven't seen this much Pirate basketball excitement in a long time, maybe since the CIT run we had in 2013.
I think you're right on it. I haven't seen this kind of excitement. And I'll tell you something. Give credit to Joe Dooley and John Gilbert, the new AD. And, of course, Dave Hart. But Don walks in, and Joe tells him last week, we need to sell these tickets. Students aren't in yet. Even though it's a conference game, we need to sell tickets, these tickets to the public for $5. He went to him during the week. John said, it's a great idea. We'll keep them $5 and sell them to the public. Well, it was an additional 750 people in the lower arena. And it gave the excitement in the arena to these recruits that were there, to the players. And all of a sudden, you know, when you got your band and all the dances and all the cheerleading, I mean, it's wonderful. But then when you get a crowd in that lower arena, all of a sudden that place gets electric. And give credit to our new AD for what he did and to Joe Dooley for addressing that issue. And it, I think it made a different atmosphere in there. Before the students got back. So a really good call by John Gilbert and the athletic program for doing it that way. And, my gosh, and you know what? Those recruits went away from there thinking, man, this is a great program. And so I think it really helped out East Carolina.
So it's a little bit above your pay grade, but you mentioned it about John Gilbert doing the $5 tickets for the lower level, even though it was a conference game. Do you think, you know, even now with the students back, with maybe some of the upper-level seats, maybe we should offer some discount tickets, the $5 and $10 range for the rest of the year to keep the crowds coming?
But, you know, I don't think that they're not exploring what they can do. Now, I'm not sure, like I said, it's above my pay grade, but I'm thinking they will have some type of deal like this to get people in the stands, and that's a really good move. But, again, it's above my pay grade. But I'm certainly hoping they will continue to do things to push it. You know what else it helps? You guys are East Carolina people, and you understand the game. It almost is better that these were community people sitting in those seats because the students are captive audience. But community right. people can go out and sell your program to the rest of the area. So I think it was a double good notch for East Carolina to have that going. And I think they're talking about that. I think they'll look at ways to keep the people coming. And those $5 tickets are a great deal and a great opportunity. We all know how good this league is. I mean, this is a tremendous basketball league. So, yes, I hope we continue to do that. I don't know if we will. But I think they're certainly looking at ways to increase the attendance.
Well, it's like you said, the community. And, you know, Greenville, by and large, is a blue-collar town in Eastern North Carolina, is a blue-collar area. If you offer those tickets at a discounted rate with the big-time programs we have coming in, I mean, people can go and can afford to go and bring their kids, bring a family, You know, so I think it would be a good idea. It's better than having empty seats.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's better than having empty seats. And we all know this. North Carolina loves basketball. The state of North Carolina loves basketball. I will never forget the crowd when we came in from CIT at 4 in the morning, and there were 400 or 500 people out there. I mean,
wow.
You know, cheering us in at the airport. This state is well-educated on basketball. We kind of get out of the mix because of the ACC is such a great league. We kind of get put on the back burner. But the truth is, this league we're in, after the Atlantic Coast Conference, and I really mean this, we can compete with most leagues in this country. This is a tremendous basketball league. Maybe the Big 12, but other than that, and the Big 10, those three are playing really well right now. But other than that, we're as good as any league, and not all from them. If you could give us their top blue blood team, we're good as anyone. But this is a basketball area and a great league. You're right, it's a great league, and we need to sell it, and we need people to come out and watch.
So, let me ask this, David, and I'll shut up. So, what does – I live in LaGrange, and if you know Eastern North Carolina geography, LaGrange is just outside of Kinston. Do you think Coach Dooley will ever be able to tap into that Kinston pipeline?
I couldn't hear that last part. Tap into what?
Do you think Coach Dooley will ever be able to tap into that Kinston High pipeline?
Yes, yes, yes. He's already working. Yes.
All right, good deal.
Yeah, and look, let me explain to you something. That you'll love this story. We're at breakfast in Dallas. Rafael Tilius is sitting across from me. Rafael says, "There's a kid that I like over at South Granville High School." And he gave me the kid's name. And I said, he said, "I think you can really play." Well, my son's the head basketball coach at Wake Forest High School, and he knows every player in that Raleigh area. So I text Todd, and I said, "Todd, kid from South Granville." He said, "Dad, go ask him. He's great." And our guys know everybody. This is in South Granville. This is a small high school. And sure enough, as soon as you said that to Tilius, he's on the phone with the cousins. And that kid was at the game on Saturday, watching that basketball game in which Pirates beat Cincinnati. That kid from South Granville was there. He's a great player. He's a sophomore. The kid from Simpson was there. Those kids are coming in because Joe Dooley will not let anything go uncovered. He is recruiting hard all over the place. Now, that's just the way he works it. And you know, he's going to get in a lot of back doors and get in a lot of schools in North Carolina. There are too many. It's like I try to tell people all the time. North Carolina is going to get three from North Carolina, maybe two, and they're going to be the best. NC State's going to get two or three. Duke gets nobody. They may get one. Wake gets two or three. That's only eight or nine kids. And this state is loaded. We've got to get our share of them. I mean, you go head-to-head against Carolina, be realistic. You're not going to get that kid, but you can get another kid that's really a great player in this state. Same thing with NC State. There are enough great players out there in this state. You just got to get your share.
Yeah, what we got to start doing is being, if you ain't going to go to state, you ain't going to Carolina in basketball, what we got to be able to do, and being in the American, we should be able to do it. We should be more appealing than Charlotte or Wilmington, and there's nothing against those programs. We're just in a bigger conference.
Right.
No doubt about it. It's one of the best leagues you're ever going to see. I mean, right now, I'm telling you, when you look at that lineup of Houston and UConn and the Cincinnati's of the world and the Memphis of the world, I mean, the whole league is like that. I mean, and I'm leaving out some of the better teams. Now, look, you don't want to take on Tulsa every day. This league is really – Temple, I love Temple. I love what they do. But there are seven or eight teams in this country, in this conference that can compete with anybody. And East Carolina's got to get there. We've got to get our fair share. You know, it's kind of like – and I hate to say it – it's like it's an inferiority complex – with the Atlantic Coast Conference. We can't have that. You can't worry about that. You've got to build your program and do the things you can do. And if you worry about them, and people that say, "Well, we can never beat St. Cal," well, don't worry about that. I mean, you don't play them anyway. Worry about what you can worry about and get in your conference and do well and let it all play out. That's what you do. You can't be concerned about them all the time. you got to be concerned about your program and where you're headed. And that's how I think you have to look at anything in athletics. You do what you can do and not worry about other people.
I thought it was interesting at the post game. There's many things that happened on the post game press conference I was able to cover on Saturday, Si, but when one thing that Coach said that stuck out, and he said it before, is he said, if I didn't think we could win, I wouldn't have come here. And having said that, as far as recruiting, where do you see the needs? I know everybody says big men, but as far as athletically, these kids that we're seeing in this conference, I call it a big boy conference, are long, lean, very athletic. How can we get – I know you were just talking about that, which is very true. I preach that all the time, and I appreciate it. It means a lot hearing you say that. How can we get those kids to really take on the Cincinnati's, the Temples, the UCFs of the world?
Well, I think, David, you're right. And listen, I want you to understand, I've done this for 21 years because I believe it can be done. Even now, I still feel that way. And it's just a matter of time when you get a guy like Joe Dooley. What do you need? You need everything at every position. You just have to. You've got to, and you know, right now you got to have some big, but you also, East Carolina needs the 6'6", 6'7" athlete not to go along with the bigs. And I think Joe Dooley's looking at everything. Nothing will be left out. He's going to go after really good players. He's already signed good guards, but he's going to be looking for bigs. He's going to be looking for athletic twings. You know, the three position, two position, and he's got to get some people that can really stroke it, can really shoot the basketball. Joe's looking for everything. And listen, these guys, Lockford and Ted Chilius and he, they're on the road. They're working it every day. I guarantee when we're in Florida and we play on Sunday, Friday and Saturday, they're going to be on the road in Florida. They're going to be looking at top JUCOs. They're going to be looking at high school kids. They'll practice, then they'll be gone. I mean, that's just how they do it. They're going to find players that can play at this level. And believe me, nobody knows this level any better than Joe Dooley and his staff. They understand it completely.
Si, were you surprised about the quality of staff Joe was able to put together? To be honest, I was a little bit when he got the staff together.
You know what? Let's even start at the top. How about Dave Hart getting Joe Dooley? I mean, this is a tough league, and East Carolina's not been doing really well. And first of all, you get Joe Dooley, and he comes in and says, I got into this league because it's a basketball league, and I believe I can win here. And then, like you said, you get Rockford to come in, who's just an unbelievable recruiter and coach. Raphael Chilius is really, these guys are top notch. I mean, what he's got in here, they're just unbelievable guys. And so, yeah, that tells you how much Joe has in credibility. I mean, these guys came right on in because of Joe Dooley. And they came for a purpose, that is to get players in here and to win. And listen, every time I sit down and talk with them, like at breakfast or when on the road, I just get more fired up. I mean, because of what they're wanting to do. It's just a real pleasure, and it's nice to see. You know what? People have to understand they're going to have to be patient. It takes a while to do this. You got to be patient. You got to give them time to get in players. This is a big, you said it right, Jay. It's a big boy league. Give him time. Get players in here. And this year, right now, to beat Cincinnati was an unbelievable win. But don't think East Carolina is going to win the rest of them. They're going to play hard. This league is unbelievable. Give him time to get players in here that are hit, and he'll get it done.
Si, you talk to and you say getting it done. Talk about getting it done. Jaden Gardner, you mentioned him earlier. Obviously, he had a tough first half against Cincinnati, but what's so impressive about this kid, he doesn't hang his head. He's still battling, gets 9 or 10 boards, and then in the second half comes out and scores 13 points. And finishes with his 6th double-double of the year. And then so you have that performance of his, and then you have a guy like K.J. Davis. This is his second game back off off being injured, and he put up a career high 17 points that gave us that four score as we had four guys in double figures on Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. KJ, Jaden Garner, of course, was a great player to have. I mean, he was Cap 8 player of the year, three straight years. Plays below the. He reminds me of L. Bing that played years back. He's not the greatest sleeper, but my gosh, he's got the quickest first step. His engine is unbelievable how he can do that. And we were really interested in seeing how he would play against SMU in Cincinnati. And guess what? He doesn't care. He just goes another notch and plays a little bit harder. And he can shoot free throws. He gets to the line because of that quick first step. He's very confident. He plays great defense. He hedges hard. And he walls off people. He's just got really quick feet, unusually quick feet. And Jaden Garner is a guy that's going to help Joe for years to come. And, you know, and yet he's undersized. But he will get it done because he is so quick and so aggressive and such a high motor. So you're right. And the truth is, the other day, he could have easily been player of the game. They're all playing, so they play such a good game. I tell you, I think the real off-the-ball stuff that Saturday against Cincinnati, the defensive effort that Fleming had, K.J. Davis had, and Hill had, Addison Hill, all defense against great scores for Cincinnati, it really was a basketball game. And just a tremendous effort by East Carolina all the way around. But you're right. You know, when you look up LeDay and Garner did a tremendous job, you're looking at 6'6 and 6'7. I mean, against big, big guys, they came through, and Garner's just being consistent.
Absolutely, Si. David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I wanted to, as far as Memphis is concerned, with Penny Hardaway, we were talking about that earlier, he's got those guys. He has major street cred, being from there, coming back. You got, like we're talking about, Tyler here. And as far as Memphis is concerned, I was joking with a guy yesterday. He was asking me about Memphis, and I said, look, I said, Penny Hardaway don't even have to drive across town. He can walk across town in great town. What are you talking about?
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, and he's got these kids playing so aggressive. They're forcing 18 turnovers a game. And he signed the top player in the country for next year in here. And he really rules the city right now. And you got to give him credit for what he's done. And if these kids buy in, and they are, they can be very, very difficult for everybody in this league. But this league, when you're on the road, it can be tough on anyone. So you're right about Hardaway. He's got them playing, and he's got talent, and he's got the city fired up. Very aggressive. When you're forcing 18 turnovers a game, you've got something going your way. So give credit to Memphis and getting back to where they should be.
Is there? Do you have any? I know there's always hope, but realistically, do we have a shot against Memphis being tonight when we air this podcast?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I do. The key East Carolina, first of all, they're gonna work harder than anybody. So you've got a chance. Now, here are the keys. Do you shoot it well? You know, do you not turn the ball over? Do you defend the post well? And they're gonna do all that stuff. But the shooting part, they've got to shoot the basketball better. They've got to not have live ball turnovers as a key. And if East Carolina can do that, they can play with anybody and have a shot to beat anybody because they're going to defend and outwork everybody. Everybody. I mean, it's just the way they play. So, I mean, if you outwork Cincinnati, you can beat anybody. UConn works hard. I mean, but I'm just saying, you're never not going in saying we don't have a chance because of how hard we work.
Right. It's a different. I always say that the team plays with the personality of the coach or coaches.
Exactly. Exactly.
No doubt about it. And he's got them playing really hard. And speaking of aggressive, I haven't seen a team's play with this intensity in a good while. And hopefully we can get a win. And Si, I know you've had a long day. You've been generous with your time. And
we're just hoping to thank the world of you and the voice. And a lot of people don't believe me, but I most of the time I'm able to listen to you guys on the radio. And some back in the day, I'm used to listening to you guys because we were not on TV at all. It's a pleasure to listen to you guys and really call the game. You really paint the picture, so to speak. And hopefully we can live up to your guys' standards as far as the game and get a victory tonight against Memphis.
Thank you, buddy. And listen, thank you for what you're doing. It's so important for the whole pro.
Well, we're trying hard to get the program going, and definitely we're hopefully we can turn this thing around. It's going to take time, and that's one thing we always say on this podcast. Please be patient with Joe Dooley and the staff. Get out there, support the team. They're working hard to get a winning product on the floor, and we've got to do our, as Joe says, we've got to do our part. So thank you, Si, and give my best to the voice.
I'll do it. Have a good night, guys.
Okay.
Appreciate it, bud.
All right, take care. All right, Si Seymour there. I appreciate him very much being on with us. And, guys, what a great guy and a great guy to definitely have on our podcast. He's welcome anytime. Love Si Seymour. I know, Kyle, you and I have talked about it, what a great job he does. We love listening to the radio. I know you do as well, Bubba. Bubba, I know that you're we got some great podcasts coming up. I know you've got to get up early. We all three do. Tell folks what we got coming up, and we'll talk about promotions as well as far as social media. And please write us a review and give us 5 stars on Apple. That's one thing we're going to work hard this year. We need more people that love this podcast to tell everybody you love this podcast and write a review and give us 5 stars. I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. Everybody, Jim Ross does it. I can do it too.
Right. Yeah, as far as what we have headed our listeners' way, we'll have a series of podcasts with the 1983 team. Of course, the team that finished 8-3, ranked in the top 20. Its 3 losses were at in Florida State, 47-46, at the University of Florida, 24-17, and at eventual national champion, Miami, 12-7. So, 3 losses, by a combined 13 points. So just a tremendous season that year. Then you had the victories over NC State at Missouri. So we'll be talking to a lot of those guys, reliving a lot of great memories. And we'll also be having an AAF show, the new Alliance of American Football. They'll be kicking off in the month of February here in about a month. And, we'll be talking to guys that have ECU connections and guys on the administrative side as well as players. We'll be talking to Greg Herring, former athletics administrator for marketing at ECU that's now with the Memphis Express. And we'll also check in with former tight end Bryce Williams, who's going to be with the Arizona Hotshots, and Philip Nelson, quarterback, who's now with the San Diego Fleet.
That's going to be an interesting league, and we'll see how that plays out for sure. I know that I want to remind folks, too, as always, thank you so much for all the followers we have now on Twitter, and we have a lot of people liking the podcast. We have a lot of people listening to the podcast. Again, I can't say enough, right, Kyle, to definitely give us a 5-star review.
Yeah, give us a 5-star review on Apple or wherever you can review it at. I know other platforms allow you to review also.
Yeah.
So, give us a 5-star review. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And we would appreciate it. And when you leave that 5-star review, write something. Say what you like about the show. And for each 5-star review, David will send you $1.
Hey, if we get enough of them, I would be definitely inclined to do so. So, no doubt about it. In fact, you never know when we may have special promotions coming up. So I'll just say that things we're working on in research and development. So
when we got a crack staff on it.
Yeah, we actually. I'm serious. We actually do. So anyway, guys, I appreciate you guys. Do you have any final thoughts for you, Kyle and Bubba?
Be good to yourself and each other. So long, everybody.
All right, what about you, Bubba?
Not much of anything. Just tune in later tonight. Watch the Pirates on ESPNU, 9 o'clock, tip-off against the Memphis Tigers.
All right, hopefully we can get a win, and we've got a lot of other great guests coming up as we talked about. Definitely like us on Facebook. We got the Twitter as well. Follow us there, Instagram, and so much more. For Kyle from LaGrange Barber and Bubba Rosenbaum, I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.